Hello everyone, welcome to the Smashy Business Show. Today is Tuesday, 8th of October 2024. We're in Q4 of 2024, the fourth quarter, and business is booming. Everyone is splashing money here and there, and we're going to talk about all of it. With me, Abdul Majid Awan, I have my co-host, Farah Bashir. How are you, Farah?
I'm good. Thank you for the beautiful introduction. How are you?
I'm also good. Let's get into the news as soon as possible because we have very big happenings which are going on throughout the Middle East. First of all, let's talk about the UAE and Jordan historic trade pact that they've signed. This is the first time that UAE has signed a bilateral trade pact with an Arab country because usually GCC governs all the rules and regulations, all the trade that happens between all the GCC countries. But this time, UAE has made a different step. They've gone out of the box and signed an agreement with Jordan. Something about the pact, the UAE and Jordan have signed a groundbreaking economic partnership agreement, first of its kind. The pact aims to minimize restrictions and non-tariff measures on goods and services, promoting cooperation in priority sectors. He is the Federal Minister for Foreign Trade, Sheikh Mohammed bin Zayed Al, Dr. Thani Al Zayoudi. He is the Foreign Minister, Foreign Trade Minister for the federal government. He said that they're going to go into real estate, tourism. They're going to cater to a lot of industries through this pact. And I think it's a very important thing, Farah, that they're signing pacts with now Arab countries after going to other continents. Now they're looking inside.
That is very, I would say, important. Yeah. And which is why I'm going to be telling you guys now, why does this matter? Because this agreement, of course, is, as Majid has mentioned, is going to be doubling the trade between the two countries. That would be totaling around $8 billion over the next 5 years, which is very big. It's a lot of improvement as well, up from 4.2 billion in 2022. So from 4 to 8, that is almost more than a double. It's a very big jump. And as well, the key areas for the collaboration, they include tourism, hospitality, real estate, renewables, food and security, which are very crucial for the economic growth and diversification. We talk about, how countries really want to improve their economy. Yeah. And one of the major ways and techniques to improve the economy is through either trade or even as well tourism. Yeah. And real estate. And real estate for the UAE is very significant, and it's really big and major. And if they think that this would be something big for other countries, they would for sure implement it in other countries because, of course, the UAE's significant investment in Jordan, which is over $4 billion, highlights the deepening, as mentioned, economic ties and mutual interests in various sectors. I think that what happens is that the UAE's investments and desire to continue growing economically in different ways is not ending and it's not going to stop.
Yeah, and I believe this trade agreement is going to be ratified by the end of the year. Mm-hmm. It will become come into action by the end of this year. So what will happen is that the railway project that they have in Jordan, UAE already has a 2.3 billion railway project in Jordan going on. That will also strengthen. So they already have something going on and they're building up on it. And what we've seen is that UAE has a target to reach 28 CEPAs, that is Comprehensive mm-hmm. Economic Partnership Agreements. They recently signed it with Hungary as well. They've signed, the very first was signed with India nearly 2.5 years ago. And after that, they've been on a spree. They've signed nearly 15 or 16 Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreements. In short, CEPA, easier to pronounce. Yeah, so this again shows that UAE is not resting on its oil. It mm-hmm. wants to grow out of oil and into other industries. And with every country that comes in to an economic partnership with the UAE through CEPAs, they bring in more trade, and more trade usually in the non-oil sector.
100%. Yeah.
So with New Zealand, I remember they recently signed, and the poultry and the farming industry mm-hmm. in New Zealand is very big. So that will come in. They signed with Australia. It was the very first time that Australia signed a trade agreement, a bilateral trade agreement with any Arab country, and they picked UAE. So it's a great thing that UAE is doing this. They just want to move away from oil any way possible. We've talked about AI, property, anything. But these trade agreements are like the backbone of them building a non-oil economy.
I agree with you. And regarding that, it's very important because you know how like the Gulf as a whole depended so much on oil for the past...
You see the history, it's been always oil.
Literally, it speaks history, right?
Yeah.
So they are the after COVID has hit, the world has moved into an era of technology and AI. Whether we like it or not, I mean, it's better to accept it and live with it and move with it. And that's what the UAE is doing. It's moving with the growth that the whole world has witnessed over the past years, and that's why they just want to enhance the non-oil trade and investment opportunities globally. It's very important for them, and their first targets are, of course, the Arab countries, the Gulf. As you know, Saudi Arabia as well does not want to depend on oil.
And these are the big players. UAE is the big player. Saudi Arabia is the big 100%. Player. Egypt is the big player. These are all big players, and they're all trying to move away from oil. And the main targets are tourism, real estate, and the major sectors, and then trade with other countries.
100%.
So that's what the UAE and Saudi and the Middle Eastern countries are doing to move away from oil, signing trade agreements, doing the best they can. Let's move on to the next story, which also brings in a lot of money for the Middle Eastern countries. So Saudi startups have surpassed nearly $165 million in startup investment in only the month of September, not the year, not the like quarter, in only September 1 month, they got $165 million in startup investment. Mainly, they dominated the MENA region. UAE was second on the list, obviously. Again, big players always on the top three.
Of course.
Egypt was third. So this marks a 12-fold, like 12-time increase from the $13.9 million raised in August. So the season is starting and people are coming here to invest in startups. And Jeddah and Riyadh were the key contributors for this rise in Saudi's startup funding. And what we've seen is the main two players which got the majority of this $165 million for Saudi Arabia was Sayara. It's a used old car selling platform where you can sell your car. Mm-hmm. And apart from that, it was Shift, I remember. That's a car rental company, and they have a very new AI-driven car renting system. So those two got the biggest investments, and they pushed Saudi to the top in September's startup funding scene.
Now, of course, you know, I love how, like, I feel like Saudi and the UAE, they're like in a race of like who's going to be reaching first to the goal. But speaking of the, let's focus on Saudi right now. Now, if you would think, why would this matter? Because the UAE and Saudi Arabia together represented 68% of the MENA's venture investments, as mentioned, indicating strong regional investment activity. This is something that we know, and as well, this indicates a growing preference for late stage funding, suggesting that the startup of the ecosystem is actually indeed maturing. You know, we have talked about how Saudi Arabia and the UAE, both of them have a vision, and the story about Saudi Arabia just shows that, you know, Saudi Arabia's ecosystem is actually indeed maturing in comparison to other.
And what we saw is that fintech got the majority of funding. We've seen that throughout the startup setup, fintechs are the most funded ones always. But after that, it was logistics, which caters to the maritime industry, the air industry. So that's like the second, which got the most investment. And then software development also got the third most investment in the MENA region and in Saudi Arabia. So that shows that if you're going into the fintech startup scene, you have the potential to grow. People are investing in fintech. And if you're going for logistics, because UAE has a very big maritime economy, logistics are very important here. Saudi Arabia has a big maritime economy. Logistics, again, are important. So if you're building something around that, a new startup or a new service, they'll always get money from someone. And with Saudi Arabia, the interesting part is whenever you read investment in a Saudi startup, it's usually from a Saudi company or a Saudi venture capital fund. Mm-hmm. So Saudis are investing internally, locally, mm-hmm. to, so good news for Saudi startups that your own countrymen or your own country venture fundings, they're ready to invest in your startups. Mm-hmm. They're not looking outside, they're actually looking inside. So late stage VC funding, as Farah said, dominated mostly Series B and C.
Yes.
The well-set startups, which are already doing good, they got a lot of money, and it's usually for expansion and to make their product or service better. So that's one case. And the best thing about you, Saudi Arabia, is that they're building mm-hmm. a whole industry around startups.
That's true, by the way. And as well, as you said, like between Series B and Series A funding, the Series A funding is indicating, like, of course, a successful venture. And of course, this will be attracting even more and more investments. Yeah. And this will all be contributing to the economy. And all that you can think of is, if it is like that right now, how will it be like that in a year?
Yeah.
Which is, I would say, like,
and with this year ending, the next mm-hmm. year has a lot of prospect, to be honest. Mm-hmm. This year, we saw that the funding for startups dried up in between. But now it's picking up pace. From 19 billion in Saudi, it went up to 165.
Yeah.
So it's picking up pace. I mean, good time for you to go and find a venture fund.
It's a very big increase because, like, you know, like back then, from, like you said the number $165 million. Yeah. So, but back then, the increase went from $13.9 million. I mean, that is a really big. Jump. I wouldn't even say like improvement. That is a jump from like one reality to another reality. Yeah. And the investments are in major cities like Riyadh and Jeddah. That's like where the growth was most significant.
And in the UAE, I remember it was Dubai that got the most investment for UAE. So UAE came second, but Dubai was the most funded city in the cities region. And it actually topped the list of cities.
Yes.
So country-wise, Saudi got the most investment. But when it comes to cities, Dubai was on top, and then 100%. Riyadh, and then Jeddah. 100%. So again, that's a very good race, very healthy competition to have
between these two countries. I love how, you know, like, I love the competition that's like between Saudi Arabia and UAE, because both of them are trying to like reach the top. Yeah. However,
and it eventually helps the region as well.
It does, but if you think about it in a way, it's kind of like, because like, it's like Dubai against Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
It's like a city against the whole country. But at this point, all that I can think of is, we shall see.
Yeah.
Is Dubai going to win or is Saudi Arabia?
Future is bright.
Yeah,
that's the good part.
Yes,
that Saudi Arabia startup scene is growing. The future is bright for 100%. Startups. UAE startups, they're getting funding. Mm-hmm. And they're actually hosting startups from other countries as well. Hub 71 in Abu Dhabi, Dubai, DMCC has a startup center. A lot of places in Dubai and Abu Dhabi have startup centers mm-hmm. where foreign startups are setting up base. So that's also a good sign that it's not only the local startups.
Yeah.
Other people also know that this region is very important. A lot of people are here. And talking about money, let's move to the third story. It's actually about money.
A lot of money.
U.S. investment firm, U.S. state investment management firm, it's called State Street. They've expanded in the Middle East. They're already working from DMCC, but they're now looking, they're working from ADGM, Abu Dhabi Global Market, and then trying to expand in Dubai in Saudi Arabia because of the money that is there. And they want to tap into that 9 trillion wealth boom by 2027. So they're already managing 6 trillion in the region. And now they want to reach 9 trillion, not even billion, trillion. By 2027. So State Street is a US company, as I told you. They're mainly focusing on helping family offices and hedge funds. Mm-hmm. Apart from that, the firm is building up its investment advisory team in Dubai and establishing a portfolio management team in Riyadh. Now, the caveat for Dubai and Riyadh, the difference is in Dubai, you can just come and set up a company. But in Riyadh, you need to set up a regional headquarter. If you don't set up a regional headquarter for your company, you can't work in Riyadh or Saudi Arabia as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
So now they're setting up a regional headquarter in Saudi Arabia, but in Dubai, they're just working. because Dubai has a more, I won't say a better system, it will be wrong to say a better system, but they have a more streamlined system, a more quick system. Mm-hmm. So you can set up your company within 1 week or 2 weeks and just start doing whatever you want to do.
I mean, the State Street for sure is making the right choice because they are expecting to go from 6 trillion to 9 trillion. And I just want people to keep in mind that word trillion, because it's not like a small number, it's a huge
usually
number.
Before that we were talking about startups and we were talking about millions and we were like, oh, a lot of money,
but now it's trillion, it's like huge. So because as well, this will be presenting a significant opportunity for global financial firms, of course, and the strategic expansion will be reflecting the growing demand for local financial services amid Saudi Arabia's economic transformation and the UAE's appeal to international investors, which is very, it's important because like at the beginning we did say that the UAE is actually investing around the region.
Yeah.
And then maybe expanding to the Arab countries. And now it is as well looking maybe to appear towards like international investors. And
yeah, it's basically Saudi Vision 2030 is all about bringing money from the world into Saudi Arabia, and UAE Economic Agenda D33, that is like for 2023, that also says that they want to bring money from the world into the UAE, into Dubai. So all these agendas and goals, these are the main targets, and they have a set goal of getting this amount of money by 2033 for UAE and by 2030 for Saudi. So all these companies coming in, setting up offices in Saudi, in UAE. We recently talked about a PGIM. They said they're a $7 trillion asset. They have $7 trillion in assets under management. They came to Abu Dhabi. BlackRock signed a $5 billion deal with Saudi Arabia. And what is happening basically in at the core of it is that Saudi companies are going for IPOs. So this company, State Street, can help them manage that. Usually, they used to only work with central banks in the US. But now in the UAE, they're tapping into new markets.
Yeah.
That's the good part, that UAE is not only getting the money from them, they're getting their expertise in new markets as well. So Saudi is growing IPOs. Every day we see an IPO today. You can see our post soon that Al Majid for Oud, they went on to the stock market and their stakes jumped 30%. And they published their profit reports after they went on to the stock market. So you can see the post on Smashy Business, Instagram, and LinkedIn, and Facebook, and everywhere.
Everywhere. Yeah. It's
just
everywhere.
Pitching in our social media handles. So the Middle East is growing.
They are
and
growing.
Every trillion-dollar asset management company is trying to get a piece of the wealth that is there in the region.
That is true. And as well, I want to say something is that, you know, like the regarding State Street, is that they are not expecting the growth from 6 to 9 trillion. $1 trillion if they don't know that they can get it, because of course they have a lot of, they are aware of their rising client demand and they're expanding its focus beyond central banks and sovereign wealth funds to include family offices, pension funds, and even hedge funds. So they are aware of what they will be getting, and therefore they are expecting that big of a growth.
So thank you very much for joining us on the show. If you missed any part of it, you can go back on all the streaming platforms, Angami, Apple Podcasts, all the podcast platforms that you can find, and just write Smashy Business and you can listen to the whole conversation that we had, me and Farah Bashir. Apart from that, you can always go to YouTube, Instagram, Facebook. We do all of this live there as well. You can find the episode and look at it. What we discussed today, a short summary, is that UAE and Jordan have signed it. Historic trade agreement. This is the first time UAE has signed a trade agreement, bilateral trade agreement, with an Arab country. Apart from that, we talked about Saudi startups, that they've raked in $165 million in startup funding in only September of this year. And State Street, which is a US investment management firm and fund management firm, they are expanding in the Middle East and they want to increase their stake of $6 trillion to $9 trillion by 2027, and they are currently globally handling $4.4 trillion as well. So this was the show. Thank you very much for joining. This was a Smashy Business production brought to you by Augustus Media Podcast Network. See you tomorrow.